Well, amen. Good singing again tonight. And thank you so much for being back again tonight, a good-looking crowd. And hopefully you were blessed. Yesterday, I told the preacher I have no desire to make a name for myself or impress anybody. I just want to be a blessing to you and to the Lord. And if I've accomplished that, then I say to God be the glory. Amen. Now, of course, he was talking about my suits. I have for years and years and years and years bought all of my suits from the Goodwill or a thrift store. The one I wore yesterday, I paid $11 for. And this one I paid $10 for. And when my kids, I may have already told you this, when my kids were teenagers, they say, Daddy, don't tell people you buy stuff at the Goodwill store. That's when they was living on my dollar. But see, now that they're grown and have their own kids, guess where they shop? They'll call me and say, Dad, I got a good deal over to Goodwill. But I'm telling you, that one I had on yesterday, I had gone into the Goodwill store and saw it, but it didn't appear to be my size, and so I just put it back on the rack and was walking around the store, and I thought, well, you know, sometimes they missize those things. I'm going to go and try it on. So I did, and it fit me to a T. Didn't have to do a thing to it. And so I'm standing there holding it, and this lady said, ooh, I like that suit. She said, I want it. And I said, well, you can have it. What would you want it for? She said, well, for my daddy. And she pointed this guy, and of course, he was a lot bigger than me. And I said, well, ma'am, if you think he can wear it, you can have it, but I don't think it'll fit him. And she said, oh, I'm just going on with you. I just think it's a pretty suit. And I said, well, I do too. And I said, I'm $11. I can't pass that up, I'm telling you. But anyway, I appreciate the Lord allowing me to buy my stuff at a cheaper price. Listen, if I were to buy suits, it cost a lot of money. When I'd spill something on them, I'd go, ooh. But if I spill something on a $10 suit, I think, well, if it don't come out, I'll throw it away and get another one. But anyway, and the preacher mentioned, I may have said this before as well, but the preacher mentioned that all the offering in the next few nights to go to me, and I want to be up front with you, I want to lay everything on the table. What I'm going to do with the money that you give me, I'm going to use it to help a poor family with their lights and rent and so forth and so on. And I mean, every penny of it's going to go to that poor family. Of course, the poor family's mine, but I want you to know that. I'm going to keep my lights on and buy groceries. anyway, I see some of you ladies are going, aww, until you found out what I said, and you said, bleh, bleh. Oh, my goodness. But anyway, I do appreciate you being here tonight, and hopefully we'll be a blessing to you again here. Now, we have the help of the Holy Spirit. One of our little girls in our nursery, little bitty thing, about 2 years old, she'd got her foot stuck in the walker, and she couldn't get it out, and so she was saying sort of low to the workers there, she said, help, help, help. Nobody was paying attention to her. After a little bit, she said, little help over here. And when they told me that story, I thought, well, in my Christian life, there's been plenty, plenty of times I've had to say to the Holy Spirit, little help over here. Need some help in desiring to read my scriptures. Need you to help me in desiring to pray, to walk holy. Little help over here. And, of course, he's here to help us. Can you say amen to that? All right, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 4, if you will, please. James chapter 4 for our scripture reading tonight. James chapter 4, real familiar portion of scripture, and you will notice that I use scriptures that you have read and can recite probably from memory. But James chapter 4, for those who can and will, once you find your place, if you'll stand with us please for the reading of the word. James chapter 4, James, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, writes that you have not because you ask not. And then he says, when you do ask, you ask for the wrong reasons. Consume it upon your own lust. And so for that reason, you don't get your prayers answered. Then he says in verse 6, he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To the person who says, Lord, I'm not up to this. I need your help. Now the person who says, I can do it, you're doomed to fail. But when you say to him, I cannot do this by myself, then he's more than willing to, he gives grace to the humble. You know, you're struggling with your prayer life, struggling with your Bible reading, struggling with your faithfulness to church. Tell him about it. Humble yourself and say, Lord, I need a little help over here. A little help over here. And he says he'll give grace to the humble, to the one who admits that you cannot do it on your own. Then he says in verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And I don't know about you, but I love that picture. When Satan comes to me, I can look him in the eye and say, get out of here. And he doesn't just mosey away. He flees. I can see him kicking up dust. And of course, I do it in the name of Christ and the authority of Christ. But get out of here. Leave my children alone. Leave my church alone. Leave me alone. And he has to flee. Does that excite you? We're not victims. We don't have to be victims and constantly him jerking us around. We can resist him and he will flee from us. Now, verse 8, a verse that astonishes me. I don't doubt, I don't wonder at God wanting to fellowship with you, but it amazes me that God wants to fellowship with me. And he says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded, be afflicted and mourn, and so forth. But draw nigh to God. Now watch this. He says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. I'm talking about the creator of this world. I'm talking about the God of all gods. I'm talking about the one who created Adam and Eve and or the one who opened the Red Sea. I mean, this God is saying to me, draw nigh to me. And I'll draw nigh to you. What an amazing, astonishing thing to me. Thank you. You may be seated if you will, please. Often I will hear people say, preacher, I just don't feel as close to the Lord as I used to feel. He just seems far away from me. I don't feel his presence like I used to. And when I hear that story, I think of a little story that you probably have heard before, but it's about an older gentleman and his wife sitting at a red light, waiting for the light to change, and this young couple drives up in the next lane next to them. And the young couple sitting in the next lane to the older couple, the young couple is sitting real close to each other. I mean, she's just almost in his lap. And the older woman said to her husband, she said, you know, we used to do that. And he said, I hadn't moved. So when people say to me, I'm not as close to the Lord as I used to be, then my question is, who moved? See, his desire is to fellowship with us. His desire is for us to get as close to him as we humanly can. And so he even invites us, draw nigh to me, and I will draw. You make the first step, and then I'll, if you make any move in my direction, then I'll come your way. God will never crowd you. He'll never push himself on you. He says to everybody in this room, you draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. So my question is, who moved? Now, I would say to every mom and dad in this room who's trying to raise godly children, you need to take this invitation seriously. When Jesus says, draw nigh to me, if you're trying to raise boys and girls for the cause of Christ, understand you've got a lot of enemies. I mean, Satan's going to use cartoons. He's going to use entertainment and music. He's going to use even education. He's going to use the wrong kind of friends. He's going to do everything he can in his power to take your little boy or girl and draw them down the wrong road. And as godly parents, you and I have got to stay as close to the Lord as possible so that we can get wisdom and strength and help. Can you say amen to that? So I'm saying if you want to raise a godly family, then you need to heed this invitation. Draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. You boys and girls in this room, you listen, you need to listen. If you want to live for Christ, you want your life to count for something, you need to take heed to this invitation. Boys, I'm going to tell you something. Satan's got his eye on you. I mean, he's watching you, and he's looking for ways to get into your life and begin to ruin your life and get you off on the wrong trail. You see, the demon-possessed boy, you remember the demons, the one that had a legion of demons? He wasn't always demon-possessed. He was at one time some little mamas, some little daddies, pride and joy and running around there, but he'd make a wrong step here and a wrong decision there, and it kept taking him further and further and further away from God until eventually he's filled with it. I'm saying, listen, Satan wants to do that to every little boy and girl in this room. So I say to every little boy and girl in this room, listen, you draw nigh to God. Get as close to him as you possibly can, and he'll draw nigh to you. And that'll protect you from the evil one. Girls, Satan wants to send you the counterfeit. I had a girl in our church years ago, and she was a wonderful girl. She could play the piano. She worked our bus ministry. She sang in the choir. She was a soul winner. I mean, she was a godly girl. And after she graduated from high school, she went off to college and did real well in college. And then she came home one day, and she had this real tall, handsome guy on her arm, and you could tell by her body language she's in love. And she said to me, "Preacher, I want you to meet my fiance." And I said, "Well, buddy, he's a handsome one, that's for sure." And she said, "I want to talk to you about marrying us, putting us together in marriage." And I said, "Well, now, honey, I know you, and I know you're a Christian, but I don't know him." And so I turned to him and I said, "Let me ask you, are you a Christian?" He said, "Nope. Nope." Now listen, he said, "I don't believe in that stuff. Don't believe in heaven, don't believe in hell, don't believe in God." And I said, would you let me take the scriptures and show you how to be saved? He said, "I just told you I don't believe in that stuff. I'm not interested." I said, "Then I couldn't put you and her together. I would never marry." He said, "Because I'm not a Christian, you would not marry us." I said, "Not in your lifetime." He said, "Why?" And I said, "Because she's on the road to heaven and you're on the road to hell. And the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? We're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." I said, she would be violating every scripture there is about marriage. Boy, he got mad. He jumped up and went out of my office and slammed the door and got in his car and peeled rubber out of the parking lot. Boy, it impressed me. I was impressed. And she collapses down in the chair there and she's weeping and she said, "Oh, preacher, I won't marry him if you tell me not to." And I said, "Honey, it's not a matter of what I tell you. My opinion doesn't matter." I said, "God's word tells you not to do it. The one who can see down the road and see all the heartaches and the troubles that you're going to have by marrying an unbeliever, I'm telling you, he says to you, don't marry the boy." And she said, "Then I won't." And she didn't for about 2 weeks. Eloped and ran off with him and got somebody else to marry them. And listen, you can find somebody to do it. I mean, somebody's willing to do it. I'm telling you, but not me. I'm telling you, when God says don't be unequally yoked together, I know he means what he says. See, Satan is after these girls in this building and you're going to find somebody who's so handsome they just take your breath away. Well, if that's all you're looking for, get you a picture and hang it on the wall. My soul, you need somebody with character. You need somebody who's saved and spiritual. That's right. And the will of God for your life. Amen. It's not enough they just be saved. I mean, they've got to be walking in the ways of Christ and the will of God for your life. Just because somebody's spiritual doesn't mean that's God's choice for you. So she married the guy, and he ends up in and out of jail, and they have five children. She ends up living on welfare. And I mean, her, and every time I think of her, I think of how she played the piano and sang in the choir and won souls and worked the bus ministry. But Satan had targeted that little girl. And had she just drawn nigh to God, had she just got close to the Lord, then I'm telling you, she'd have been protected from all of that grief and heartache in her life. Boys and girls here tonight, I'm begging you, listen to the invitation and heed it. Draw nigh to God, and He will, did you hear what I said? He will draw nigh to you. You can get as close to God as you possibly want to get. And so boys and girls, I encourage you to do that. I'm begging you as parents, listen, you get as close to the Lord as you can and just say, Lord, I'm looking at the invitation and I say, I want to get as close to you as I possibly can. Unfortunately, sometimes we listen to invitation and pastors are bad about this, and the pastor will start toward the Lord and instead of getting to the Lord, they settle for a sermon or a ministry. And Lord says, draw nigh to me. But the ministry gets between us and the Lord. Preparing messages, making visits, and all the other. And we will settle. Now David said, my heart pants after the, like the deer pants after the water brook. Not settling for anything else. But so many times ministries will take the place of Him. So many times preparing messages will take the place of Him. So many times we will start toward the Lord and bump into, I've got to prepare a message. I've got to make a visit. I've got to, and we never get close to the Lord because of the ministry. And wonder what's missing. Or parents, a lot of time, God blesses you with children and you have these wonderful children and then all of a sudden you've got school and ball games and all the other and you feel away from the Lord because you've got all of this to do. You got the children to raise. You've got lessons to get together. You've got house to keep. And we never make it to the Lord because this obstacle stands in our way. So we go on and attend church. We sing, we pray, we do. But we're not close to the Lord. Well, you know how it is. I'm raising all these children. Well, so much the reason more that you need to be close to Him. Some of you boys and girls, I've encouraged you to take this invitation, but you see, sometime it's that sports program you're involved with and you get so involved in that you don't have time to read your Bible. You don't have time to get involved in the youth program and so although the Lord's inviting you to come and draw close to Him, you allow the sports program or all the gadgets and gizmos and the telephones and all to keep you from getting close to the Lord. Can you say amen right there? I don't want anything. The songwriter said, nothing between my soul and the Savior. I don't want anything between me and Him. I don't want that at all. And so here's this invitation saying to me, draw nigh to me, draw nigh. Sometime, hurts can keep you from getting to Him. Years ago in our area, there was a church that split, and it was a horrible split. People went here and yonder and everywhere, and That was back in 1982 or 83. Today, in 2015, if I meet some of those same people who went through that split at the funeral home or at a restaurant, it'll be less than 10 minutes that they'll be rehearsing all those hurts all over again, just like they'd happened yesterday. I mean, it's as fresh as it was in 1983. And they're not close to the Lord because of these hurts. Our Lord is saying, draw nigh to me and I'll draw nigh to you. But every time they head that direction, they run into that person that hurt them. They run into that situation that hurt them and they can't get, listen, cut the ball and chain and shake it off and get around it and go on into the arms of Jesus. My soul, our secretary has a saying that I like. She says, build a bridge and get over it. My soul, quit holding on to that hurt. Quit holding on to that. I mean, quit. He's invited you to get as close to Him as you possibly can. And why do you allow somebody to stand between you and God? Well, I'm telling you, that deacon years ago or that preacher there, well, my soul, go around it. Go around it, and our Lord is standing there saying, come and I'll draw nigh to you. Don't hold on to it at all. Just again, cut the chain and walk away from it. Why would you allow anything when the King of Kings is saying to you, draw nigh to me? And I'll draw nigh to you. Why would you allow anything or any person to keep you from going and being close to Him? Why would you allow that? Sometimes it's something you need to take care of. When I was a boy, 17-year-old boy, I worked at a W.T. Grant company, which is like Walmart. There was a lady that worked there in another department, and she jumped on me in front of a bunch of people. And I'm 17 years of age and I'm unsaved and I jump right back. I said things to that lady that a boy should never say to a woman. I mean, I felt good about it. I put her in her place. You don't jump on me like that. And I put her right back in her place. And then it wasn't long after that I left the job and then I became a Christian at age 20, got born again, washed in the blood. Sins washed away, amen, at age 20. And then at age 24, I surrendered to pastor and I walk into the church there to begin pastoring that church and there she sits. Well, you know, I was young, I was unsaved, it was a whole different world and so I'll just start from this day on and try to be good to her and kind to her and a good pastor to her. And so I would preach and while I'm preaching, she was going, pfft. You can interpret that, can't you? And I try to speak to her and she just, whoosh. I'm glad y'all don't have nobody here like that. I'm telling you, I mean, and I just try to be as sweet as I could and just overlook it and all. And because I kept thinking, well, that was when I was unsaved. I was a boy. That was a long time ago. But for about a year, every time I would preach, she would roll her eyes and grunt and blow. And so finally one day I'm down at the altar and I'm trying to get close to the Lord. I've taken this invitation seriously and I'm trying to get to the Lord and every time I started toward Him, I kept bumping into her. And the Holy Spirit would say, you've got something to take care of. And as I had told Him so many times before, Lord, that was a long time ago. I was young. I was unsaved. And so I'd go to praying again and I would bump into her and I couldn't get to the Lord because of her and I'm telling you it just, and so finally I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to take care of it. So I got up and called her number and asked her if I could come over. And they invited me to come over, a beautiful home sitting on a lake. And I went in and stand in the foyer there. And I started off this way. I said, now I realize that our relationship hadn't been the best in the world. She said, not my fault. I mean, you know, I'm trying to make it right. Not my fault. And I said, no. I said, I didn't come to place blame. I came to tell you that I'm sorry for what I did when I was 17 years old. I should have never said those things to you. And I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. She said, oh, don't worry about it. I said, no, listen, I need for you to forgive me. The Holy Spirit of God has dealt with me, and I've got to get this right between you and I. She said, oh, don't worry about it. I said, ma'am, if I have to, I'll get on my knees and beg you. Because I have got to have, God's convicted me of this, and I cannot get by this until you forgive me. You see, what I'm needing for her to do is put the key in that door and unlock that cell and let me out. I need this out of my way. This is something that I've got to take care of. And some of you, you've got things that you've done and people you've hurt you need to apologize to. Listen, you can't get to him until this is out of the way. And finally, with tears running down her face, she said, preacher, I forgive you. And that lady became one of my best friends. But see, until then, I'm telling you, until then, I couldn't get to him. Because I kept... And I've named several things, but the Holy Ghost has spoken to you. What is it that's standing between you and God? He's invited you to come. He's invited you to draw near. What is it that you keep bumping into that keeps it? Is it the marriage that's not right? Listen, whatever it is, would you go around it? One of my dear friends, preacher friends, his wife had battled a courageous battle with cancer. She'd got down to the last few hours of her life and he was sitting in a chair next to the bed there. He had her at home, and he was sitting in the chair there next to her. And she began to just reach like that, And then over, and he said, Ernestine, honey, what do you want? She just kept reaching and reaching. And she said, move closer. And so he moved closer. She said, I just want to feel you. I just want to feel you. And when he told me that story, I thought, I want to get so close to the Lord that I can feel him. I don't want to live without his presence. I can live without answers to prayer. I can live without preaching. I can live without 1,000 other things, but I cannot live without feeling him in my life. And yet here he is saying to us, draw nigh, and I'll draw nigh to you. I want to say, Lord, I'm coming. Amen. Would you stand with us for prayer, please? Our heads are bowed for just a moment to come into the instruments. Boys and girls, you want to grow up and stay close to the Lord? Listen, draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Moms and dads, you're going to raise a godly family. You got to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. You need His help. Preachers, listen, don't let the ministry get between you and Him. I wonder how many of you lift your hand and say, preacher, that spoke to my heart tonight. I want to be close to him. Can I see your hand, please, all over the building? God bless you. Why don't you come on as she begins to play, make your way to the altar.